Hello and welcome to episode 14 of The Final Whistle. I'm Sam Taylor, sports reporter for the Lewiston Tribune and the Moscow Pullman Daily News. And with me is Trevor Johns.
Hey Sam, how you doing?
It's a surprisingly heavy news week, especially today as well. And so we've got several topics to get into. We'll start with Washington State University gutting their track and field program. We'll talk about what that means. Prairie High School firing three of their coaches, including beloved girls basketball coach Lori Mader. And LC State launching a search for their athletic director, as well as some American Legion baseball action. So all that and more right here in the Final Whistle. So starting with WSU, the news of Washington State University gutting their track and field program. Trevor, what was your reaction when you heard the news?
My real reaction was, whoa, that's very different. I didn't really understand why they're doing it, to be honest. It seemed like a very odd move, but I mean, like, when you look at stuff like the house settlement and making more money for football and basketball available, it makes sense from a financial standpoint, from just a sports standpoint, and from a Trevor Johns standpoint. I don't like it. It's not good for college sports in general. Tell me about why they're gutting it, and what was some of the players' reactions? I know you talked to some of the players.
Yeah, so what it looks like is that Washington State is track and field. They're getting rid of the field part of track and field, unfortunately. WSU is discontinuing their field offerings. So that's throwing, jumping, the long jump and things like that. And so those are being eliminated. And then they are scaling back, massively limiting the number of sprint and hurdle opportunities. And they're going with what they called a distance focused approach to track and field. Obviously their head coach, Wayne Phipps, is distance is his bread and butter. That's his expertise. And they've proven to have a lot of success under his tenure with distance, as well as historically with the WSU track and field program with distance. But recently, the sprinters have been kind of making a name for themselves, setting school records. Four out of the five individuals who went to nationals were sprinters or relay team members. And so it was this in outdoor nationals this past year. And so obviously, it was a lot of surprise in the way that this unfolded.
It's odd because it's like, I think we read that it was one of their most successful years since like 2016.
Yeah.
Sending this many people to regionals and then nationals. And then Mason Lawyer broke a school record for the 20 meter in indoor and outdoor, right? I mean, the 200 meter in indoor and outdoor.
That's correct, yeah.
And he got second team All American at the nationals. And, I don't know. It just seems like an odd choice during this time. I mean, I guess we understand that now they need to make more money available for football, basketball, some of the other big sports to pay their players and their revenue sharing. What does the house settlement relate to this, Sam? How does that relate to this?
Yeah, so the house settlement, it was a resolution that was introduced 10 days ago to a series of lawsuits brought by various NCAA athletes who wanted basically a piece of the pie. They believe that colleges, individual colleges and NCAA itself and the conferences profit too much from what they make off of college sports, and that athletes should get a piece of the pie. And so that sounds good enough on paper, but the way that it's seen itself come to fruition in the last 10 days is that some schools are taking these steps and have taken these steps over the past few years to scale back their athletic programs to either get rid of programs entirely or to just completely just change the way that it operates and then to reduce the number of scholarships that they give out. And so the WSU, when this is all said and done, although they are, offering hurdles and sprints in a limited fashion, one of the sprinters I spoke to today said that it essentially feels like they're cutting that too, because they fired their sprint specific coach, assistant coach today. And, as well as two other assistant coaches, the throwers coach and another coach. And they're not going to replace them. So they're just getting rid of those coaching positions. And so now instead of having an event specific coach, they're just kind of left on their own. Also a concern was the WSU didn't provide a lot of clarity as to what competition would look like. Oftentimes there's the sprint specific meets and the field specific meets are a separate meet from the distance meets. And so is this, additional travel, or are they going to do more localized competition? And a lot of this is kind of just left unanswered. It was a 10-minute Zoom call on Monday.
That almost seems disrespectful to the athletes and the coaches as well, right? Like they got notified today, right?
Yeah.
They got notified on Monday about this information. 10-minute Zoom call, and then just you're cut, basically. Go find a different school or stay on and not do track.
So yeah, the three coaches that lost their jobs found out about half an hour before their athletes that they would not be employed by WSU any longer. And then yeah, it was a 10:30 a.m. email of notice of a mandatory meeting at 1 p.m. on Monday. So they had, 2.5 hours of notice. And then they show up to the meeting. It's a 10-minute meeting with, of course, Wayne Phipps, the head coach of track and field program, and McCoy, director of athletics, is most of the talking, as well as some of the other administrative members of WSU Athletics. And they just inform them that the direction they're going, pretty much what was in the two-paragraph public statement, is kind of essentially what they told them. And one of the sprinters I spoke to, Brooke Lyons, was actually typing a question into the Zoom chat when the Zoom ended. There was not really any opportunity for questions or answers, and a lot of people were just kind of left in the dark. In the statement, WSU did confirm that they are going to honor the scholarships that they'd previously given out. And so even, most members of the track team have partial scholarships, but those scholarships are going to be honored throughout all the current members' WSU tenures if they choose to stay. But the vast majority of the affected athletes, impacted athletes, are going to have entered the transfer portal already and are going to seek new opportunities. And WSU is going to support them in finding new opportunities. And so it is an interesting, just really tough, heart-wrenching situation. You got to feel for, the coaches and their families. You got to feel for the student athletes who just were totally blindsided by this. And it just really creates this eerie feeling across all Olympic sports, really.
Yeah, I mean, is that why is are you saying that because this could happen to nationwide schools, where they can be cutting their programs a little bit?
Yeah, I think this could happen to more schools. I think more schools probably have this, at least as a nuclear button option, unfortunately, to just kind of dismantle programs like this. Also, I feel like it won't be the end for WSU. I feel like some of these other Olympic sports that we know of, don't have any leagues, but the tennises, the swimmings, swimming programs, those other programs, rowing, could see cuts. The reality is that, WSU, with this revenue sharing, has committed to sharing $4.5 million of their, $77 million approximately budget with the football team specifically, and then another figure with the basketball team and with other athletes, as dictated by the House settlement. And so that money has to come from somewhere, and right now they're sourcing it.
Let's move on to Prairie High School. Just fired three coaches, including Lori Mader, the girls' basketball coach, who's been to the state tournament 15 years of her 15-year coaching career.
Yeah, 15 out of 15
And
state appearances.
who else was fired? They fired two other coaches.
Yes, Prairie also fired, the Cottonwood School Board also fired their volleyball coach, Julie Schumacher, and their baseball coach, David Shears. And it's tough. David Shears, this was his second tenure as head baseball coach, his second year and of his second tenure. And he also is the founder and supporter of the American Legion baseball program up there in the Cottonwood area. And then Julie Schumacher, we just saw her team, the Prairie Pirates, reach state last year. A lot of success there in that program historically. And so,
The weird thing
but
is,
yeah.
no answers were given, right? They didn't say, "This is why you're fired." It's just all a mystery to all these coaches.
That is true. Yeah, the public is left without answers. The coaches themselves are left without answers. And the school board administration are pretty much the only individuals that are confirmed to know why. And that's because the school board chose to, discuss to call an executive session, multiple executive sessions, but in particular one executive session at their school board meeting last Wednesday, to make these decisions. And an executive session is part of Idaho state law, where any public body can call an executive session. One of the purposes is to discuss personnel issues. So this does fit, the legal definition of what an executive session would be for. But what you can do and what you should do. And a lot of folks, including the coaches, think that they were owed, and honestly were owed, a little bit more, reason and discretion and respect. And Lori made her call, deemed it unprofessional the way that she was treated, and her colleagues were treated by the Cottonwood School Board in this issue. And so it has left a lot of questions, and we'll learn more, over time. The situation, some little things will come out. It's especially interesting to see who the next coaches are, who the successors are for girls basketball, volleyball, and baseball, and See, the one quote that kind of does stick out, Principal Matt Elvin, the one thing that he did say was, "We're just hoping to move forward and find coaches to replace them that put kids first." And so,
That's kind of telltale. That kind of like tells us why this might have happened. Maybe they're a little too harsh on kids or something. It just kind of, I don't know, it doesn't answer questions still. There's still a lot of mystery behind this, a lot of just misunderstandings, but that kind of does say a little thing about why this might have happened.
Yeah, based on the interviews with Lori Mader and David Shears, they didn't really receive any notice. There wasn't really any criticisms or evaluations or, hey, change the XYZ about your coaching style, or, hey, we had this issue come up. And it's been interesting. I mean, there's certainly a sticky situation and a lot being unsaid. There's a lot more to the story than what I was able to find out. But, if you can read all the details that we do have at our website, elmtribune.com, this kind of left, and just looking at the public reaction to this, the story got a lot of comments and a lot of people, just kind of shocked and blindsided by this move. Lori Mader in particular has a lot of fans across the region. Everyone's saying, oh, Potlatch, she could come work at Potlatch. No, she could come work at Genesee. I heard Genesee wants her. All these people's, saying who would love to have have Lori Mader coach their school. And majority of the Prairie players and community would as well. There was a good attendance at the school board meeting, but for whatever reason, which the folks in power have not shared, then Lori Mader will no longer coach, and her colleagues will no longer coach at Prairie. And so, like I said, just leaves a lot more questions than answers. But yeah, it's an interesting situation for sure.
So from then on, we got LC, Lewis Clark State. Cynthia Pemberton, the president of Lewis Clark State, just said that they are launching their search for a new athletic director. As we may have talked about last week, there or a few weeks ago, the athletic director at Lewis Clark State was terminated. His contract was terminated, and he was no longer going to be the AD at LC State. So they are launching their not investigation. They're launching their search for a new athletic director. Currently, their assistant athletic directors, Alicia Alexander and Raymond Bedrina, will be taking over as the interim AD during this time. So they're going to be doing one-on-one meetings with Pemberton, just like any normal AD would for certain times. They hope to hire a new AD by mid to late fall. Is what they say, which seems like a long time for a search for
Yeah,
an AD.
I get that it's summer and there's tons of vacations, but you saw WSU, obviously D1 school versus NAI school. It's kind of a different, different priorities, different circumstances. But Wazoo wasn't without an athletic director for more than like 2 months before they found Anne McCoy hired internally. But obviously LC State wants to take their time. They want to do it right. And but yeah, it is interesting how like 3 months does seem like I feel like you'd want somebody in place by August or September, by the beginning of the academic year. But they're not constraining themselves. I'm sure if the right candidate presents itself, by that time, and they'll make the move. But I get also not wanting to rush yourself and give yourself a timeline that you won't meet. WSU kind of famously didn't give themselves a timeline and just kind of went about the business of hiring an AD. That was the most recent local AD search that we had, and so that's kind of what we're comparing it to. But for Ronnie Palmer, I guess, who was hired in August, over just under a year ago, I'm not familiar with how long that search went.
I'm not either, actually. But what I would say is, one thing that they said that was interesting to me is that they're going to keep the position open until they hire a new person. So like the posting will be available to anybody applying for AD this new AD job until somebody is hired. So this means that it could be like some guy could be great. Some person could be great tomorrow, and they could decide, hey, this is the guy they want to hire. Or it could be like this guy's great, and then another guy comes along in August or in September that we want to hire. Maybe October we want to hire, and it's this guy who applied in October rather than this guy that applied in June or July. So I think that's interesting too, because it just keeps their window open longer. It means like you can hire anybody at any time, basically. So keeping it open I think matters too.
So what I'm hearing is loyal listeners, dust off your resumes. You could be the next Lewis Clark State Athletic Director.
Yeah, I think
Sounds
so.
pretty
I
fun.
think I've got good credentials for it. I think I might apply.
You got 2 degrees. Go for it, yeah.
Yeah. But also there's going to have a constituent of students, student athletes, staff, faculty, community members, stakeholders, sponsors, WAA members, foundation board members, and other people are going to be along with the hiring process and meeting with candidates, potential hires, throughout this entire situation of this search for a new AD.
Yeah, I guess. Do you know? Did they list? Did President Pemberton list any like qualities that they're looking for? Any qualifications that in particular in this email that you got?
Not that I saw. I don't really know what you may be looking for an AD. Obviously, you want professionalism, somebody can handle a budget, somebody can handle covering all these sports, working for all these sports people, and good community skills. You want to build community as well. So I don't know. Those are just a few things that are general for ADs. Pepper did not list any specific things that she wants and she's looking for. So I guess it's just pretty much open to anyone and everyone who is willing to apply.
Yeah, and I mean this is an attractive position because not only are you obviously directing Lewis Clark State Athletic Department, which has successful baseball, basketball, and track, and all these other programs are historically very successful in the NAIA. You're also playing a huge part in the NAIA Baseball World Series, and so that's an event that is going to be hosted in Lewiston through at least 2027. So at least 2 more years, probably longer. But whoever is the next AD will probably play a pivotal role in potentially extending that contract. If this, that's certainly something the school and community is probably interested in. So you need somebody who can be a huge stakeholder in that, and then also just providing the necessary hospitality and directing all the loose ends and all the various caveats that there are to that World Series. It's a huge lift.
Yeah, that's where I
So
wonder where something went wrong with Palmer last time. So I wonder if there was a mess up around the World Series, because the World Series is such a big deal around here, and to Lewis Clark State, that they want somebody who can handle the responsibilities the World Series brings along as well, as you said.
totally, yeah. And yeah, I don't want to speculate, but it is interesting how that the World Series happened, and then shortly after there was no more AD. And so
Yes.
that's an interesting series of events.
And then American Legion Baseball, I think, is our next topic. The Palouse Patriots won the Palouse Summer Series Junior Legion. They went, I think, undefeated in this tournament. So about like 5 or 6-0. Just a few players that stood out were Tanner Bearlocker. He went 4 innings and allowed 1 run on 6 hits and fanned 4 batters against the Meade Panthers during the first round of the championship series. He led the team also with 2 hits and 2 RBI in that game. And then the second game, they played the Moscow Blue Devils in the real championship, the second round of the championship series. And Alden Burt and Cash McCann were important to the championship game. Burt had 2 hits and 3 RBIs, and McCann had a double with 2 RBI as well. So Palouse is just really a well put together team in American Legion Baseball. Their hitting was split up pretty evenly. Like different guys had different hits. RBIs are split up around like 7 or 8 different guys and different RBIs. And they're overall 11-2 on the season so far. So it's looking good for the Palouse Patriots right now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see kind of a great mix of Colfax and Pullman players, majority Colfax and Pullman players on that roster. Cash McCann in particular has impressed. It's been cool to see. He was a starter for the Pullman Greyhounds this past year at first base, right? And
Yes,
so,
first base.
but he's actually taken to the mound and thrown some pitches in this within the past week or so this season for the Patriots. And it's been cool. He's allowed very few runs. He's been effective on the mound, and then also just obviously with the bat, picking up that double in that championship game.
As you
So
said about
yeah.
Legion Baseball earlier too, is like this is a time for players to experiment, coaches to
Yeah.
experiment with different guys and see what they can do on the mound in different positions. I saw Alden Burt was playing center field the other day. He's usually a catcher.
Wow.
So it's different positions for these different guys to try them out and see what happens.
And talking about packing in a lot of baseball to this weekend, you saw teams like the Twins that were eliminated early, continue to play kind of exhibition games, and then just all these teams packing. I don't know how many, like 6 games in the last 6 days at least, multiple games a day sometimes. And so it's cool to see these guys getting that experience.
Yeah, the Twins were eliminated from the Dwight Church tournament. But they kept playing the Nampa Chiefs for 2 straight days, Saturday and Sunday. The Twins, I was actually at that game and I covered that game. What happened was the Chiefs jumped to a 3-0 lead, and then around the third inning, that's when Lewis Clark kind of got going. The Twins kind of got going. They tied it up, took a lead 4-3, and then they got into some trouble pitching. Zach Mussino was on the mound. He did a fine performance. Isaiah Raines came in, struck one out, and then helped load the bases. So he walked two guys, so the bases were loaded after Mussino walked the guy earlier. And then Xavier McPhee. He came in, two Ks, two strikeouts immediately. The head coach Micah Brown called it a really ballsy performance. He said he was really impressed by Xavier McPhee right there. And then they walked it. Well, what happened is it just kind of went back and forth. The Twins scored, and then the Chiefs scored two in the sixth inning to or in the top of the seventh inning to tie the game. And then in the bottom of the eighth inning, there's a runner rule like the major league. So it's like a guy's on second immediately. The last guy that got out is now on second. And then so it was a pass ball. Bryan Schumaker was on second. He got the third. He just easily trotted to third. And then another pass ball, and he just walked home. Well, didn't walk home. He jogged home, briskly jogged. And he scored and he won the game for the Twins there. Micah Brown also praised Bryan Schumaker for his good base running there to win the game. And yeah, really wasn't a fireworks show on offense for Lewis Clark. But it was kind of a mild game, but there's a few guys like Grady Kennedy had two doubles, Colt Kelly had two hits, two line drive hits that were pretty important to the game. So just overall good team ball there for the Twins there against the Chiefs, and that's how they won.
Solid, yeah. So it's cool to see, even though they weren't able to advance in the Dwight Church tournament, they're still able to get some games in and play every day
Yes,
on that weekend.
that's actually what
Yeah.
he says. Like, the reason we're playing is this is exhibition. We just want to get some games in for these kids, is what Micah Brown said.
Fantastic. Sweet. So we'll continue to have Legion baseball coverage all summer long. It's only just getting started, and it's yeah, really cool. So yeah, that about wraps it up for us here on the final whistle. Trevor, what to look forward to this next week at the for the Listen Tribune?
We got a few features coming up. You got one on Kyle Fox, right? The new Clarkson, is that football coach?
Football coach, yeah, yes, sir.
And then we got hopefully a Joey Miller story coming up, a Clarkson softball player, Clarkson catcher, and then just a few other features. That's what the summer is a lot of features. And American Legion Baseball is what we're going to be writing about. So read us at lmtribune.com. I'm Trevor Jund, and that's Sam Taylor. And check us out on lmtribune.com and moscowpolandailynews.com.
Yeah, be sure to like and subscribe, listen to us every week, and continue to read our work. Thank you so much. Have a great week.